WHCR, 90.3 FM, New York.
I ain't talking about rich, I'm talking about wealth.
You are now tuned in to the Ash Cash Show, your number one source for financial motivation. Get your mind and your money right.
Dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hey, hey.
Well, I need the dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hey, hey.
Said I need the dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your
talk,
but money talk,
so talk
more.
Happy Sunday, my believers of self and in infinite possibilities. Welcome to the day that you shake off your fears and begin to live the life that was intended for you to live. Today's daily word is dedicated to unwavering your faith. It is a fact that fear and faith can never occupy the same space. If you have faith, then why worry and vice versa? Many people live by the creed that says, I will believe it when I see it, not realizing that this ideology is wrong by all measures. As Martin Luther King once said, faith is taking the first step without seeing the whole staircase. As you continue to journey towards your greatness, it is imperative that you understand that you must believe and have faith in your higher power than yourself. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. Have unwavering faith. Know that everything will be all right in the end. So if it's not all right, then it's not the end. Keep going. And never stop until you get what you came for, because nothing can stop you but you. I'll leave you with a couple of quotes. And the first one is by Mark Victor Hansen. And it says, your belief determines your action and your action determines your results. But first, you have to believe. Next quote by J. Cole. And it says, do not be moved by what you see. Do not be moved by what you feel. Instead, be moved only by what you believe. And last but not least, by St. Thomas Aquinas, and it says, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. And speaking about no explanation, we have greatness that doesn't need to be explained in the building. Mr. Shima Jones, a 4'7".
Really?
What is it, 4'7"?
Really gonna take those 3 inches?
4'11".
No, yeah, 4
Marketing
inches.
Marketing Maven.
Don't do that.
How are you, Mr. Shima Jones?
I am well, as always, happy to be here. Thank you so much for your daily word. It's always on point and relevant to my life, and I'm sure it's relevant to our listeners as well. For Brand New Money, I actually wanted to talk about what is it that you want to do. I think oftentimes creatives have so many amazing talents that they can get kind of distracted by their greatness, if you will. It's super important that when you think about building a brand, you have to keep in mind that you are also building a business. And with the business, you are one of your goals is to actually obtain money. We're on the Ash Cash Show. I shouldn't be afraid to talk about money.
Oh, absolutely not.
And we have to narrow down our desires and the things that we like to do versus the things that we're really, really great at and actually can sell, can put a price tag on. And I think every entrepreneur goes through this journey of discovering their passions versus their moneymakers, if you will. So I know for myself, I had to realize the same thing. Okay, a lot of things that I was doing them because I like doing them, but it was hard to actually sell those things. You know, not everybody is going to part ways with their hard-earned cash simply because you say you like doing this. So always keep in mind the service that you are providing for somebody. What is the difference that you're making in someone else's life? How are you making someone else's life make more sense to them? How are you making it easier for them? Because those are the things that people are really purchasing. They're want to purchase time. They want to purchase flexibility. They want to purchase convenience. They want to purchase education. So you have to really discover what it is that you're doing, what you like doing, and what you're really, really great at that people will actually pay for. So in your journey, your entrepreneurial journey and pursuits, understand that, realize, okay, these, I'm really, really great at these things, but what is it that I can sell? Because that's how you generate your cash flow. That is how you are able, you will be able to fund your passions and fund your dreams by providing a service that people are actually going to part ways with their money for.
No, absolutely. I agree. I agree 1,000%. I don't even got no ad libs. I don't even have anything to add. I agree 100%.
Awesome,
all right, cool.
Awesome.
So we're going to take a quick music break. You know, this show is very important, and all of our shows are important, but the reason why I particularly feel like this show is important because there is a lot of things happening in the United States right now with our new president, and it's only been 7 days, so this that was part of the reason why my daily word was important, because you know it's really just showing that you have to follow your belief system. So whatever your belief system is, you have to go, you know, believe that no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, you know, have your belief system. And I have a belief system that understands and knows who's in charge. And like the you know the quote said, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not the end. So that's what my song is right now. My next song, you know, I'm a DJ now, right?
Yeah,
next
you
song,
are.
Kendrick Lamar, it'll be all right. But that wasn't why I brought that up.
Okay.
Was the segue into our guest, because I also have the belief system that, you know, if you're always waiting for someone else to help you, someone else to give you that helping hand, that is the majority of the reasons why we have certain circumstances in our lives, period, is that ability to lean so much, whether it's on government, whether it is on leaders, whatever it is, and we have to begin to take back control that we have. And so, you know, our guest today is going to talk to us about, you know, how do we take back control? And this is really, really important. So we'll be back. But this is Ash Cash, Mr. Shima Jones, the Ash Cash Show, every Sunday, WACR 90.3 FM, New York. The Voice of Harlem.
You are now tuned in to the Ash Cash Show, your number one source for financial motivation. Get your mind and your money right.
We gonna be all right.
We gonna be all right. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gonna be all right.
Man, we are going to be all right. We've been down this road before. This is Ash Cash, Mr. Shima Jones, the Ash Cash Show, every Sunday, 1 p.m., WHCR, 90.3 FM, New York, the Voice of Harlem. And so I'm excited, right? Because we, you know why we're going to be all right? Because we're gonna buy back the block. And I'm excited about our guest that we have today. We have Miss Lisa Phillips on the line with us, and she is the owner of AffordableRealEstateInvestments.com, and she teaches new investors how to double their cash flow by investing in rental properties under $30,000, which are predominantly in African American communities. She does this through online courses, Facebook community, and coaching. She teaches about rejuvenation in these neighborhoods, not gentrification, right? Because one denotes respect, the other holds disdain for the community. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Miss Lisa. Miss Lisa Phillips, how are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for that introduction. I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me come on your show.
No, absolutely. Now, thank you for what you're doing, because this is vital, right? And so, you know, whenever somebody asks me, they're like, oh, what do you think about Donald Trump? And what do you think about the state of the economy? I have a optimistic view of it. And the reason why I have this optimistic view is because of exactly what you're about to talk to us about. So I just want to throw it to you. So talk to me about, you know, affordable real estate investments. What is it? And, you know, why is this a passion of yours?
Okay, thank you for giving me the opportunity. And I do appreciate you and Shashima for inviting me to spread the word. And I love what you guys are doing as well. I just wanted to say that first before I get started with my piece.
Thank you.
What I started was, I was in a bad bind. I was always passionate about real estate investing. But when I got caught up in the 2008 foreclosure crisis, And what happened was that I got laid off twice. And the second time, the house that I had purchased in Vegas in 2006 was worth 60% less of its value that I paid for it. So finding myself laid off for the second time and having a house that's completely overinflated, I'd never get my money back. Mm-hmm. I had to choose foreclosure. And because of that, I just thought to myself, you know, that 7 years this was on my credit, how can I still continue to invest in real estate? And right before it happened, I sort of downsized my lifestyle a little bit. And I told myself, you know, and I had just purchased a condo for like $30,000 in Ohio. And I'd got laid off for the second time. House was foreclosing, but I was okay. I was okay in this neighborhood that everyone thought would be something in their head. They had perceptions of what this neighborhood would be like since I paid that much. Mm-hmm. But I took the time to go in person and see, you know, it's not what everyone tells you. And I was able to survive unemployed because I had a roommate because of it. And it struck me as I was living there, unemployed, going through a foreclosure, but stable, not being out on the street during a time when there were 700,000 jobs being lost a month during this time, and I couldn't get a job again for about 6 or 7 months, that, you know, when you own property, even if you rent a room out, you are stable. It's okay. You have a roof over your head. And when it's such a low-cost investment, you can really ride out all the storms. So that's when sort of it struck me that owning real estate can be so flexible and nimble to you and your family and so important when you own that note.
Yeah.
And that's what got me started.
Yep. And I am such, anybody who knows me knows that, you know, I promote a lot of different type of investing and saving, and but I am a big proponent of passive income, especially as a homeowner, because, you know, I actually had a similar story, and so I love, you know, I love the fact that you are talking, or not even just talking, but teaching about, you know, creating cash flow, passive income. So talk to us about what you do, right? So, you know, with your company, you're teaching others how to purchase, you know, how to purchase properties, 30,000. So you have a campaign. What is this, sub 30,000? What is the name of your campaign?
Sub 30K housing.
Yep.
That's sort of the moniker that we've taken on. And that's sort of an interesting thing, too, because talking about going into the neighborhoods I was the black sheep of the internet forums. You know what I mean? And that is actually a really big part of why I fight so hard to get this message through. And it's not just that I teach people how to go into these neighborhoods. I'm directly teaching against other people who've told us not to. So I can give you a scenario. It's just when you go into, people want to invest in real estate of all income levels. And there are so many people who I knew were like me and were told explicitly, you can go see it yourself. In the same forums I contribute to where I teach people, there are 5 to 6 threads saying don't ever go in these neighborhoods because these people are like that, because this is like that. And it just never struck, it just never resonated with me. I was like, you know, people, I grew up in a working class, lower income neighborhood. People said all sorts of things about my neighborhood, but it was the safest, sweetest neighborhood where everyone knew each other. Everyone lived there for 18 years. So it just struck a chord that there's a bit of a disconnect between current thought of how you should invest in real estate and how you should go about it versus what my reality was. And so even though a lot of people are like, oh, you'll never get your money back, I just went, you know, that's not what I encountered. And so a lot of this was going, I'm going to have to literally disregard a lot of the advice out there and do this on my own. And I'm going to have to go into neighborhoods, you know, where I bought a house in Baltimore for $13,000. And I'm going to have to see for myself. But a lot of the mainstream advice told me not to go, like to my face, repeatedly.
So
I have the threads. And so that's sort of the basis of when I say it's usually in black communities. in black neighborhoods, like, it's a big deal that now the people I'm teaching are usually like myself. Like, 90% of the people who follow and implement what I teach is black Americans going back into black communities. Or, you know, just the black diaspora, I guess you would say. They're not all black American. But we're definitely going back into our own communities because they have found through my voicing these objections that, yeah, I sort of had the same feeling. They told me not to go into my communities, but I grew up in places like this. It's not that scary for me. Not the way they put it, when I was trying to find out how to invest in real estate and get those details.
So I would like to know, who are they? And is it based on the price point? Does the price point reflect the quality of life in the neighborhood? Or do the people in the neighborhood reflect how much the real estate would go for? I'm not sure if you understand
okay.
that question.
I do.
Okay.
And that's sort of a multifaceted part to that, which I have found is very interesting. So the first part, they, is mainstream real estate investors, mainstream advice givers, who typically were more affluent white males.
Okay.
And what I have found in the last 6 years since me teaching and promoting this and helping other people obtain their own wealth is that at some levels, I now realize the reason they never talked about things the way I do is because there's a lot of different classism involved, and not necessarily ill-intended. But, you know, it's one thing for me to go, hey, let's go back in these neighborhoods. This is what you look for. This is what's a good investment. This is how you understand these metrics. For me to go to neighborhoods that I'm more familiar with than for someone else who's never had any relatability, comfort, has never stepped in it, doesn't know anyone in them, for them to talk about it. And so I realized that sometimes we just need to leverage the fact that these neighborhoods and these lower price range do tend to be heavily minority. They can be Hispanic in one area, and another place it might be Laotian, but a lot of them do tend to be African American. So they are the mainstream investors. And I've also found that, you know, in their society, they're not, like, I hustled to get my first property. So I'll tell people, look, I refinanced my car that I paid off. I've got the equity out of that. It was $10,000 to fund the finance. I rented out my living room to make an extra $600 a month. Like, I really hustled hard. And I was very open in saying that, you know, like, hey, all I had was my 401k. But now that I've gotten maturity and I've realized what was really the root of all this, why I'm talking about this and no one else was in this mainstream arena, is because, you know, sometimes they're from a society where you're not supposed to admit that you don't have all your money, that you're not supposed to use credit cards to fund it. You're supposed to have that money, or else you're not supposed to be in that room with them. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's a different, you know, the messenger brings with them their background and experiences, and until now the messenger was someone of a higher socioeconomic background who maybe wasn't so comfortable to tell you to hustle hard, or wasn't so comfortable about going back in these neighborhoods. Can you sort of see where that difference is? And so sometimes you need a messenger from the area to go, no, we can do this. We don't have to accept that. And not only that, it's at a price range that most of us can feel comfortable if we're going to get started in real estate investing, learning the ropes with. I'd rather learn the ropes on a $30,000, $40,000 investment than a $200,000 investment. And about the price point in communities, real estate is local, so it's very different than, say, a small town in Ohio with a $30,000, $40,000 property, a town or even a big city in the South, like Alabama, versus maybe in an urban area like Baltimore City, where you have these prices. So the price point is not necessarily reflective of who you find. It's definitely rural versus small town versus urban environment that will really indicate what you might be finding there.
Okay.
Sorry if my voice was giving away.
No
worries.
Does that
sort of answer your question a little bit?
Yes, it does. It does. I have another question, but you may not be able to answer that. But my thing is, if you are a part of that mainstream world when it comes to real estate, do you even look in those areas to purchase property, or do you sell it to a certain kind of buyer? Just speaking about Harlem, you know, it is definitely changing here. What I find is that people who don't even live in the country are purchasing brownstones to be investment properties. They probably haven't even laid eyes on it. They have other people handling that area of their business. So my thing is, for that mainstream investor, do they see any value in these properties, or and for them to not recommend it to someone who okay. may reflect that community, it's just an interesting I guess thought process and process in itself to see that people are literally saying, don't move there.
Right. Oh, but, yeah. But it also talks to your point, Lisa, about rejuvenation versus gentrification, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and so there's also a big difference. You know, with this is the first time with the internet, you really have to give praise for it, because if you want to learn a financial skill now, or you want to learn any skill, you want to learn how to budget or do credit repair, you now have it at your fingertips if you can take the time to research it. So I give thanks to that very heavily. And so nowadays, you know, people can find people like me who are just laying down step by step how you can get through this process, what to look for, and do it in a way that's clear and easy to get that information. But I say that because this is the first time people in our community have had access to this information to feel secure mm-hmm. to get started in real estate investing. Before, it was held off because it was just a really high price tag to get the training or the help or to learn it. So I always want to say that first. Like, you go, why haven't we done this and this? Well, sometimes we haven't had the skill in our community. And you can lose a lot of money if you don't know what you're doing or have that social capital to have someone who knows those skills. So I say nowadays, like, we are starting to, like I say, as a black community, that is the majority of my audience, and they're like, we're going to go in these neighborhoods. And the rejuvenation part is because my own personal, and I've noticed that this can be pretty common, I've noticed that with the investors who are African-American or black descent, that we definitely preach a different culture. We're not just necessarily about the money, although it's a part of it. It consistently comes with, you know, I have aunts and uncles that live in neighborhoods like this. I have grandmas that live in neighborhoods like this. There's such a sense of, like, we're not necessarily trying to kick people out. We're not trying to buy up the block and get rid of people. It's, you know, we want to do this, and we're going to fix it up right. We're not going to necessarily skim, but, you know, within real estate investing terms, you know, you're not necessarily in granite in, like, a 30K house. But I tell everyone, do it with respect. And do it to the sense where you would feel comfortable in that home. So it's definitely, you know, you bring your own personal capital, you purchase that property, you put that money into the property. But I say, hey, you don't need granite, but you better make sure the roof is fixed. You better make sure there's no leaks. You better make sure, you know, that the windows are closed shut and they work and there's egress. So it's that, and you know, not once. Does it leave our mouth like, yeah, then we're going to kick them out and get a new clientele in? Not once. That's just not a part of it. But when you see other people, I think, who aren't necessarily of our community who preach this culture, it's all about, like, let's buy it all out and get a whole new subset of people in. And, you know, that can be economic because we can raise the prices and triple and quadruple the rents. But then sometimes it's like, well, we need to get this element out of there, where I go, no, let's just be thoughtful about who we put in, and let's try to, you know, it's still a working class neighborhood. You're still paying this lower rent than you would in, say, another type of neighborhood. But, you know, let's be thoughtful about who we put in. And we do care about who's going to be part of the neighborhood. You are going to be selective about your tenants. And are they going to add to the neighborhood or detract? And it's just a different level of responsibility. And I don't think everyone necessarily has that. The way that I've noticed the community that I've built and what I preach, and now that we have the keys to do this, what I've noticed within our own community, just because, you know, we relate to it so much better than that mainstream investor class.
No, absolutely.
I hope that makes absolutely. Sense.
No, it does. It does. It does. And then, so if somebody was interested in, you know, let's say they want to purchase, you know, an income producing property, mm-hmm. you know, what are some of the first steps? Do they have to have excellent credit? Do they have to have $30,000 cash? Like, what are some mm-hmm. of those initial steps that someone could take in order to, you know, buy back the block?
That is so funny. It can be whatever. I mean, I hustled hard. So my first four properties, one I purchased by, I had a Honda that still had like $10,000 worth of equity. I got the equity out of my car. Of another one, I got a personal loan because, mind you, I still have a foreclosure. So I had to hustle for all of this money. It didn't just come. One was like, I just took some money out of my 401k, and others was before the foreclosure I'd purchased with the mortgage. So there is very variety of ways when you get to this income, how it might be possible for not everyone, but, you know, a nice good majority of people to be able to purchase them. And then, of course, I have tips and tricks on, like, okay, when you don't have the cash, you know, there's different lines of credit you can get. Like, for instance, one of the things I was teaching people was like, hey, you know, get a Lowe's and Home Depot card because they do installation. They did my home, my flooring in one of the properties, and it was 18 months free financing, 2 years free financing. You know, so that gives you time and some leeway to either pay it off yourself or to have your rents pay it off. But when you don't have that extra $10,000, $15,000 on hand, but you are making strategic moves to produce income, there are ways that we can make this happen. And I like to say I wasn't born rich. Like, a lot of the mainstream, I get a little upset sometimes because sometimes the people who are talking to us, they talk to us as if my dad has $80,000 in the bank to give me for my first investment. Foray. You know, like I have, you know, church members who are like, oh, here you go, Lisa. I'm just going to give you your first apartment complex because I like you. Like, I don't have that social network or capital. So, you know, I use what I have to use, you know. I use prepaid legal services because when I have real estate investing question, and when I put that in one of the forums, because someone asked for, hey, I need legal advice, what do? They politely acted like I did not put that there. You know? They just stepped right over my comments. But like the people in my group were like, look, I need to use LegalZoom as well to get the answers to my questions because, you know, $250 an hour is a little much for when I have a question or two. So that's sort of, that's where I'm at, you know, when it comes to that. Man. I'm sorry, did I answer the question? I get a little passionate.
No, absolutely. You did.
Okay. Along with that, I was going to ask, did you have a team or was this simply something you kind of pulled together yourself and now you are teaching others how to do that? Because automatically, when you think about investing, you think, well, do I need a lawyer? Do I need to have a license? Do I need all of these other things that come along with actually managing this amount of money and this type of business?
That is what I teach. I created systems for doing this because everywhere I went, I moved across the state. You know, I have properties, all my four properties, they're in different states because I would move. So a lot of what I'm doing is when you live in D.C., you're not going to find a sub-30K property. You have to go outside of the area. A lot of the people that I work with who I coach and help do this are in New York, they're in D.C., they're in California, you know, and they're in these places that are very expensive to live. So they usually have a higher wage because they live in these areas and you could ask for more because of cost of living, but you can definitely not afford properties in this range. So a lot of it, what they have to do is out of state. And so I had to come up with a system when I moved and I came to DC. I was like, I'm not going to stop and wait 7 years to get an investment property. Mm-hmm. I need this. I know it works. So I usually show people how to get it out of market. You know, you're going to have to go outside the market. And as far as that team, I've always had to build a new team everywhere I went. But there is strategies to do that. And so I say, hey, sometimes you get a cheaper property. That's good. But where you don't skimp is the contracting. So you offset some of your costs. You don't do the Craigslist thing. Trust me, I have.
Oh,
it just doesn't work. you know, it just doesn't have accountability. So I say, if you do get a team, you have to get a team with accountability, especially if it's going to be from out of state or you know, if you're not going to live locally. And so I go, hey, it's very strategic for you to get a contractor from, say, Angie's List. They have to pay money to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So they're already sort of putting themselves out there like, I care about this. They care when you're on online sites like that, the reviews are very important. You have to get someone who cares about the reviews because if they don't do something properly, you're going to want to call them out on it. And so, you know, when I've had when I've had contractors from there or a new team or, you know, Better Business Bureau, there's other sources I cite too, because in some places one might have it and the others don't. But when you get someone who cares about their online reputation, if they do something wrong and you can take a photo or video of it and you show them, they'll fix it immediately, mm-hmm. you know? So part of it's being strategic. First, you got to get a good contractor that cares about the reputation, because if you're not there, you're going to have someone go by and take photos of their work to see if it's finished. And a photo is worth 1,000 words. So if I get it back, like I had a property in Richmond, and I couldn't see it. and the contractor said they were finished. So I sent my the person that I paid to do this, just to oversee them, to go take a picture. She went out. She got her phone out. It wasn't anything sophisticated. It's just her phone. And she was like, oh, no, he didn't do this right. And she's, like, offended for me because she has nothing in this game. She, like, she has no stake in this. So she's just mad that he didn't do it. Like, there was this gap in the floor, and she showed you. She's, like, stepping on. I'm like, what did he do? He didn't do it right. She sent it to me. I emailed it to him. He fixed it the next day.
Okay.
And why? Because he know if I put that up, like, this is the type of work he does and says he's finished in this forum, he knows that he won't get any more business.
Mm-hmm.
So I say you have to be strategic about it. You have to get, A, someone who cares about it, and, B, it's easy to get someone to, like, overlook it and see it. So a lot of the times, and to give you that feedback and show you the photos that it's finished, so it's a lot more possible now than it was 10 years ago to invest out of state. Like, I haven't invested in any market I live in. It's always been 45 minutes to 6 hours away. It just depends on where I live. But it's okay because there's so many tools and systems you can implement. As long as you do it, you know, thoughtfully and strategically, it just makes sense and it comes together. You don't have to oversee it all.
No,
does
absolutely.
That make sense on how I set that up?
Yeah, definitely. No,
so I teach a little. Yeah, so I'm a hustler.
Yep.
And I'm like, we weren't born with money, but if you want to do this, I will help you do this. Are you ready?
No, absolutely.
And a lot
yeah,
of
absolutely.
People are like, yes, I am. And if I have to do Airbnb to make extra money, Lisa, I'll do it. Yep. Whereas another, like I said, that mainstream would not admit that they had to hustle hard for it. And I'm like, well, if you come here, that's what you get.
Absolutely.
So you ready to work? Then we'll get you this.
Yeah.
You not? Then maybe not. So that's sort of like my own the respect. That's what I put on it, and that's what I want people to step up to.
No, absolutely. All right, so we're going to take a quick music break. But when we come back, I do want to talk about the mindset. Like, what type of mindset does a real estate investor have to have? So we're gonna talk to you about that when we come back. This is Ash Cash, Mr. Shima Jones, the Ash Cash Show.
You're now tuned into the financial motivator himself, Ash Cash, Mr. Mind Right, Money Right. Money Right. Money Right.
We are back, the Ash Cash Show, every Sunday, WACR 90.3 FM, New York, the voice of Harlem. And we have Miss Lisa Phillips on the line with us from affordablerealestateinvestments.com, giving us some really great words of wisdom because,
yes.
You know, and not even just words of wisdom, because words of wisdom inspire you, but she's given us some actionable things that you can take in order to create financial freedom, because that's what cash flow is all about, is about creating financial freedom. So Lisa, I wanted to talk to you about the mindset, because we talk about mindset a lot. And you know, from hearing you talk, I already know, you know, you mentioned, you know, you had to hustle, you know, to get the income in order to invest in these properties. So talk to me about, you know, your ideal client, or not even your ideal client, but somebody who is going to be successful in real estate investment. What type of mindset do you have to have?
Okay, first and foremost, by the time I get to people, at some level they're fed up, so, and they're ready for action. So it could be someone who's about to retire and they've been putting money in the stock market and just it still doesn't make sense to them why they might lose $80,000 on a whim. You know, it's someone who is like, hey, I work a lot, I can't keep doing this forever. There's something needs to change. I'm 47. I can't keep working 80-hour weeks. So there's some level of, I can't keep getting fired. Sorry, I'm laughing because I sort of have that issue. I'm a way better businesswoman than I've ever been an employee, because sometimes when they don't do things right, I tend to check out. But that's my own personal issue to deal with. And when you check out, you know, that catches up with
your personal blessing, you know?
Definitely.
What's that?
I said that's your personal blessing, because, you know, it's allowed you to create, you know, to create your own, you know, create a business, create financial freedom.
Yes, sir.
So, yep.
Yes, and I take it. I used to be embarrassed, but now I see, you know, that's how it was supposed to. It was just letting me know you need to do your own thing and stop joining someone else's, and you can do this. And so when I say like the mindset, I say first off, that's usually when I get to them. Like, just something isn't connecting. And they're like, I'm not working 40 hours a week for other people. I want my time back. I want to spend time with my family. What we have turned this into, we're not near each other anymore. You know? So all of a sudden, getting your time back to visit family, to go across the country is a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, travel is a big deal. And so there's some level of, like, people who are ready for change.
Secondly, it's usually the mindset I see are people who are passionate about housing. There are just some people who've always wanted a home. I mean, that is a basic tenet, but, you know, when it comes to home buying and real estate investment, there's just people who are just instinctively, that's what they know can work for them. They instinctively know that that's how they'd like to obtain some passive income and some wealth. And so those are like two of the biggest items I see. As far as ideal, you know, when I coach people, I do prefer that they have more income, I mean, more savings allocated for the investing world, because if you have, you know, only a small amount, I'm not going to take that money to coach with, you know. But for that subset who doesn't have the money, we have, you know, I still work with them as well. I go, hey, you're not ready yet. I'd like you to make this goal, this metric. But I also want to help you do that. I want to do some money clarity. Here is some budgeting. Do you want, you know, and it's all for your first investment. Here is some credit repair. This is for your first investment. This is how you get business credit. This is for your first investment. So I do coach with people who do have like, oh, I have tons of, you know, I saved a lot of money in order to do this, and I'm ready to go with them. But also, economically, if you don't have as much, I'm doing other things. It's not just going to be about cash. When you're ready, I'm going to make sure you can jump with credit, cash, business, or personal to get into the arena. So I definitely have made it so it's open to everyone. It's just one person can do it now. One person can do it 12 months from now. So those are some of the mindset ideas. But as far as economically, it's open to all. It's just some of you guys are in different timelines, and that's okay. If you can't get five houses, you can get one a year. That's fine. Let's do that. Absolutely. Just get started.
Yep.
So that level of being fed up is what helps it, because then people finally go. If you're not fed up yet, you don't care as much. And then outside of that, you know, I am very proud to say I've been doing this for 6 years, you know, through my online tutorials, my courses. I feel so proud of, like, the hundreds of people I've helped. And they send me emails. They've posted on my Facebook. They posted on my YouTube. They're like, Lisa, thank you so much. And I just want people to understand out there, we are building a subclass of black investors who, for the first time, know how to create wealth. Mm. Like, my clients are like, oh, this was easy. And we're sharing that. When I leave someone, or so I get help someone get to their first four or five properties, and they leave it, and they're like, yeah, I only paid this much. It was okay. The neighborhood wasn't what I thought it was. I just followed your advice to follow these metrics. You know, I want people to know 10 years from now, they're going to have a big subclass of black investors who know how to go into our own neighborhoods, not necessarily to gentrify them, to rejuvenate them. Mm. And not just that, we're going to pass this on to our kids and a legacy. And I want to see it when all that mainstream people who couldn't articulate going in these neighborhoods, who couldn't teach you about the nuances of going in this neighborhood, are asking us for advice on going in these neighborhoods the right way. And that is what I want to see. I don't want to jump on anyone else's bandwagon. I want us to build our own and leverage the fact that, hey, if this is even our own community, that's even better, because that's our gift to each other. You know, so, you know, 10 years from now, I'd love to see where these hundreds become thousands and we really make an impact. But like I said, if you're going to get started in real estate investing, you know, you want a rental property that gives you good income, I'd rather have one for $40,000 than like $240,000, because I'd rather have five of one. And I've impacted a neighborhood, and I've made things great, and they respect me, and I respect them, and I help improve this community. And so that is what I see the future. And I got to tell you, I love my audience members. I love my fans, because they are serious. They don't get catty with each other. And they are doing things, and they are passionate. And I'm like, you guys are all leaders for your little community. For that one neighborhood you go in, you're a leader. Mm. You're a role model for that one block. I want you to own that, and I want you to and take that with respect and pride. And, you know, you doing work there, people look. When I do work at my properties, and I'm like this random young-looking black woman fixing this place up, not, you know, the typical white male or Jewish male, that resonates with people.
Definitely.
You know, they see me cleaning up, they clean up. Mm-hmm. That is leadership. It's not, you don't go to retreat for this. You just do it. You just put everybody where your mouth is. And so I want everyone to know, hey, this is moving. It's a movement. This is going to be so good. And, you know, now we know the skills, okay? Because before we did it, I am teaching people from the ground up. But now we know these skills. And, you know, that is what we're doing this for, and we are creating a movement, and it's going to be super, very powerful. And I just appreciate that people were open and receptive to it. They had those same feelings of angst that I had to not only get involved, but maybe go back to our own communities, and that it doesn't have to be what they said. So that's what I'd like to say about mindset and what we're doing, and the kind of people that see me, they're like, Lisa, I see you. This is okay.
No, you
love me. Yes,
you're so powerful.
And
this sort of like, and you actually spoke to exactly what I was saying earlier, where, you know, in this time of, yeah. you know, our political climate, a time of uncertainty, yeah. when you think about what's happening, we need leaders, uh-huh. right? But we need economic leaders, because yeah. before we can get yeah. the political leaders, we have yeah. to be able to have an economic base. I was having a conversation with someone who was like very politically astute, and they always talked about, you know, President Obama, and how President Obama did so much for the LGBTQ community, how he did so much for the Hispanic right. community. But when you think about right. those communities,
what about
those communities,
the black community?
Right, right. And, but honestly, when you think about those communities, they had super PACs. They put money together, right? The Hispanic community was giving President Obama $8 million, $10 million. You know, the LGBT community, came up right. with money, and so. We don't realize, you know, and a lot of us in the black community kind of feel like, you know, because we had a black president, our black president had to do for us. And so, you know, that's a different conversation. But I do believe that, you know, dollars talk, whether it's a black president, a white president, a Spanish president, whatever president, you know, money has yeah. always talked in this country. And when we realize that when we build this economic base, exactly what you're doing, we build this yeah. leadership with the economic base, yeah. then we start taking over our police departments. Then we start taking over our local politicians, yeah. our state politicians, our national politicians. And then we have power. Then we don't have to beg and ask for things. We could just, you know, demand them.
Definitely.
Can I say on top of that? And it's good to have these skills, because you're going to start seeing things from a different perspective. I used to be an employee. Now I'm an employer. I hire people. And I think that's positive for our community to be on that other side. So not only gain economic power, you're going to change a little. You're going to get a little bit more widened about both sides of the coin. And I think you're going to get a little bit more moderate and understanding of it. And, you know, with this president we have now, right now I see so many Facebook posts now saying, hey, now's the time for multiple streams of income.
Oh, absolutely.
I wish you would have done that all along.
Yep.
But if this is what it takes
I'll take
for
it.
All
Absolutely.
Of you to go, I need to find my financial information, thank you. If that's what it took, right. okay, good. We all do. It doesn't matter which president was in power. I feel we all should be minding that.
Yep.
I see that spur as well. So it's, I see so much movement right now that I saw a little bit of a stagnancy before, at least on the economic front. So it's good to see that movement, whatever it takes to spark you.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And we'll change and grow a little bit.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then so now this is for the most, this is the most important part of the show, right? You gave us all this information, all this wisdom. I know I have tons of listeners who want to get started. How can people connect with you?
Okay. I got a couple ways, but these are the main two. So the first one, go to my website, sign up for my email list, and when you get that, I will send you an invite immediately to our Facebook group. It's 1,100 plus right now, but it grows every day. Every day people are like, oh, this is what I found. This is what I found. We could do this. Oh, how do I do this? Oh, this is how you get business credit. This is how you do this. It is going, because it's a group of people who are like me. I mean, they're the first-time professional, or sometimes they're not, but it's like, hey, they're ready. They're waiting, and they're talkative, and they're helpful. They share. They they don't leave you hanging. So I would love for you to be a part of that community. The main one is going to Affordable Real Estate Investments. You can Google me. You can put Lisa Phillips Affordable. I'll pop right up. Only one really talking about this. And sign up. And then as soon as you do, I'd love to get you in our Facebook community. Because if you want to see other people like yourself, and, you know, I've learned so much doing this, the messenger matters. me being where I came from matters in order to articulate to you how you might be able to do it, because I'm talking your language now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so come to see other people like you giving you the message of how they do it, because sometimes when you don't have all that social wealth in your background, you know, this is the first generation you've had money, you know, well, sometimes you need to talk to people who understand that, because we came up with different methods.
Absolutely.
Of how to
absolutely.
Attain this. And I want you to talk to those people, because sometimes you have to talk to the right people. Otherwise, the advice you're getting just doesn't work. And that's why sometimes you don't move.
Absolutely.
It does matter who the messenger is.
Absolutely. Awesome. I agree. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Lisa Phillips. Make sure you check
Thank
her
you.
Out, www.affordablerealestateinvestments.com. Lisa, thank you so much for being our guest today. You gave us so much wisdom, and now, you know, our listeners have actionable steps. The first step,
yes.
Go to the website, affordablerealestateinvestments.com,
yes.
Sign up, and join the movement. Join the movement that's going to leave
yes.
a legacy.
It awesome. Is. Well, it's
Absolutely.
Going to be a new world in about 10 years.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
I love it.
All right.
But thank you so much, both of you guys. This was really fun. And thank you for letting me just talk and talk about this issue with your audience.
No, absolutely.
Of course.
No, we
thank
truly
you.
Appreciate you. Truly appreciate you. All right. So we're going to take a quick music break. And then when we come back, I think we're going to wrap up. But, you know, this is Ash Cash, Mrs. Jima Jones, The Ash Cash Show.
Tuned into the financial motivator himself, Ash Cash, Mr. Mind Right Money Right. Money Right.
We are back, the Ash Cash Show on 90.3 FM New York, the voice of Harlem. I wasn't sure if he put my mic on or not.
My mic sound right. Yo, you can give us some bars later.
Nah, next show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, just
yeah.
that time. You know, we had such a good show.
We
that
did.
We just kept rocking on, you know. We were
yeah.
like, forget Ask Ash Cash, because Lisa Phillips is giving us all the information that we need.
Definitely.
So we just rocked through. So it's that time. We got to break out. Miss Tashima Jones, where can the people find you?
You can find me at TashimaJones.com. All of my social media and contact information can be found there.
And I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Become my friend on Facebook, Facebook.com/IamAshCash. Follow me on Twitter, Twitter.com/IamAshCash. And I'm on Instagram too, Instagram.com/IamAshCash. Till next week, same time,
same place.
Peace.
You are now tuned in to the Ash Cash Show, your number one source for financial motivation. Get your mind and your money right.